Hello.
Hello, hello.
I sounded... Wow.
Did you just toast?
I sound louder than normal, but really clean and crisp.
All right. Those podcast lessons are paying off.
Yeah, all those lessons I did. Maybe it's because I'm listening to them in the headphones, which I haven't done in a long time.
Ah. Well, hey, guys.
Hey, it's the Lars Podcast.
I'm Ben.
I'm Ralph.
And we like to start things off with a real crisp, clear introduction.
Yes.
And a discussion of how loud we are.
Yes, or just screaming.
Or just screaming, and no one noticing.
So it's been 2 weeks. It's our opposite show.
It was the opposite show, so now we're back to normal and we're telling the truth. So
yes.
That'll be interesting.
We are 50 seconds in, Ryan.
And producer Ryan just showed up, so
he's gonna change out of his work clothes.
So if you hear us laughing, it's probably us laughing at his genitalia. At how abnormally large they are. Good reversal, dude.
Get your wiener off my bed and dresser and nightstand and bookshelf.
So what's up, Ralph? How was your weekend and your week before
my
that?
Last 2 weeks? Pretty good. I got a new host of The Price is Right, which getting better.
Yeah?
He's still having trouble saying, this is Drew Carey, remind you to help control the pet population, have your pet spayed or neutered.
Wow, but it's nice that he's carrying that torch.
Drew carrying it poorly, actually.
How about a map to your pet's genitals?
All right,
Drew,
everybody,
Carey?
That's it. Just keeping the pet population down by doing things, spay and neuter your animals.
Don't ad lib, Carey.
He's doing good. He's doing all right.
Okay.
If you were to take all the elements of each of the shows he'd done,
uh-huh,
and take the best of them, you'll have one great episode.
So out of the 10 or so he's done so far?
He's done eight. He's done eight episodes.
Out of the eight episodes, you
pretty
can have
good.
One good price.
And
today.
Ryan, I was watching today. I know you were working instead of watching today. He did do Plinko.
Yes.
And he did have to bring out the Plinko poker to knock the thing out. And he said it was his first time that he had to do it. So they may not be playing him in order. Which is not good for him. But... Definitely this week has been way better than his performance last week. So,
okay.
He definitely has potential. He just needs to kind of get used to it. There's a lot of stuff to remember in Price is Right.
Yeah, well, when you started watching The Price is Right, let's say, you know, in the 80s.
It's probably the 70s.
Ralph, watching it in the 70s?
Sure, I was probably like, I was,
okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I was like, you know, 79, I was almost... Three.
So when you started watching it in 79, let's say, how long had Bob Barker been doing it?
79, that would be, it started in 72.
So seven years. So that's plenty of time to get his polish on before you even stepped on the scene.
But, I mean, you know, Drew Carey, I don't know if he's watched every day since he's been around.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
But, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
He could have taken summer classes.
Adjustment period. Give him some time.
It'll be fine.
How's the showcase showdowns?
Good.
And the spin of the wheel, like when people come up, do they want to hug Drew Carey? Do they even give a care?
I think that the producer said one thing that you can do while the wheel is spinning is allow the contestants to say hi to whoever they want. So instead of taking that suggestion as one of the many things he could do during that time period, he does it for
every single
contestant. So, which I can't think of what Bob would do. Yeah, he would just let the wheel spin sometime. But we'll see. I mean, you can definitely see him progress. He's stopped calling items a forbid stuff or things, which is good.
Rookie mistake.
Today he dissed the product really hard. He laughed his ass off. So I'll show you.
That's not as classy as Mr. Barker.
He does it a lot. He laughs at him, but I don't think I don't think anyone's notified him yet that those are sponsors.
These are just items we picked up on the street.
Yeah.
Drew.
Those are free advertising. So that
maybe that's the Drew Carey spin.
It's a little different.
Makes the show popular.
Best moment is when the bell rang for someone getting an exact bid.
But the bell rang.
He said, you know what that sound means? Nazi subs are coming. Duck down. Which I'm sure all the old people watching
Ducked. They thought a train was coming at them.
With all the hover round commercials. I got to show you something because this has happened on every show because I've watched every Drew Carey episode.
Wow.
There is a Mary Lou Retton commercial for knees.
For knees?
Are you tired of your old knees? Well, let Mary Lou Retton help you out with these new and improved knees.
Is she selling her knees? Does she like run out of money and she's like... Emmanuel.
They're robotic. Emmanuel Lewis. They're robotic knees, Gary I Coleman. Guess.
Oh, robotic knees.
They're like replacement knees.
Did they need to advertise for that?
These are new. These are new kind of knees because these new knees use 70% of your old knee as opposed to how they used to replace your knees.
It's funny to me. I picture someone at the doctor, and the doctor's like, "Oh, we have to get you a new knee," and you're like. You know, I saw an ad for a new knee that I'd like to try.
Mary Lou Retton's a great spokesperson for knees.
For knees.
She uses her knees every day.
She does. As a gymnast, I know the importance of knees. So when you're looking for new knees, try
Bobby McFerrin could have
brand.
Done it. He uses his knees.
I don't know. Fascinating.
So that's all that's been going on the last 2 weeks.
Is you've been watching The Price is Right.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's not bad. Mm-hmm.
What have you been up to?
You know, bowling.
Oh yeah, bowling's been going strong.
Yeah, I have to do. I have to go to my league game, the day after the Halloween party.
Boo!
Yeah, while everyone sleeps, no one's gonna go with me that day.
I'll go. No, wait. It's
no,
league,
you won't.
It's league day.
Yeah.
Never mind.
See, folks, the problem with league day in our bowling alley is the leagues are all wussies, and they will not allow the jukebox to play while they're bowling.
That is true.
Those of us the rest of us that are bowling while I'm league bowling would prefer to listen to the jukebox.
Like, Ben would be pissed off if he wasn't in the league and this was still going on.
I'm still kind of pissed off, but I can't affect it.
Yeah.
So
no Hall & Oates this weekend, which means no bowling for Ralph.
But you know what else? No Dixie Chicks this weekend. Now, I'm not necessarily against the Dixie Chicks, but when they play the middle of the songs we picked, which is what happened last weekend.
Did someone go in and add the extra 5 credits to move their songs up?
Yeah, if you put in extra money in the jukebox, your song can play next. And someone had done that to the Dixie Chicks twice in the middle of our playlist.
That's 10 credits.
Yeah.
That's something. 10 What a Fool Believes.
Yeah. or 9 What a Fool Believes and 1 Them Belly Full.
Oh, is that one?
Yeah. The jukebox at our bowling alley uses a credit system, which you might be familiar with, the same kind of system that rips you off when you go to Dave & Buster's or GameWorks.
But we figured it out. We already explained this, right, on the show.
Oh, we did? Okay, good. What a fool believes, then.
Yeah.
Carry on. I think a fool believes that a wise man has the...
Dude.
Macaroni?
I've listened to that song since 1983.
And you still don't know?
I don't know the words.
Wise man has a... Caftan?
The power to take it away.
Awesome.
Have I ever played that song on the podcast?
You are
the
right
answer
now.
Answer is yes. It is already played 3 times. Every chapter break.
Sure.
Okay.
It'll be like the Imogen Heap episode.
There wasn't an Imogen Heap episode.
Yeah.
When?
Imogen.
I was thinking of. Shit. No, I was thinking of Uriah Heep.
Oh.
I was like, I haven't played any Uriah Heep.
Next week? Uriah Heep episode.
That's just the way that it is.
And we did some decorating last night for Halloween, for All Hallows Eve.
Let me guess.
Yeah.
You have those cobwebs?
No, I didn't put up any fake spider webs yet.
Okay. I'm kind of done with those.
Yeah, me too. I'm not even going to go buy any this year.
Don't.
We put up like the half a body thing and
a body with the slash hat.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. What about the bat beaded like crepe paper doorway thing?
Yeah, I got that.
All right,
it's skulls, but yeah, we put that up. I think we put it up and then took it down and said we'll put it up on Saturday because I don't want to fucking walk through it all week.
That's awesome. Probably won't do a video this year.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Because it'll be a bad day.
You can just watch last year's video.
Just watch last year's video and picture us in new costumes.
Yeah.
It's really easy.
But we'll be here next week to discuss the party.
And Halloween.
And Halloween. And
costumes.
And be able to talk about our Halloween costumes before our Halloween episode.
Let's split a top 5 next week. Let's like one of us will do top 5 costumes and one of us will do top 5 scary movies or something.
Okay.
Something like that.
Well, we'll probably do... Movies in our queue.
Oh, there we go. We'll do scary movies in our queue.
I already have mine chosen.
So do you want to do costumes and something else? Or?
No, because I'm going to do top five costumes. I'll probably just pick all of mine because I love my costumes.
Well, we'll do the top number five one for fan. Each of us.
I'm the number one fan of my costumes.
We're in our 30s, so if we each pick a top five of our own costumes, that's not bad because that's saying goodbye to 25 costumes.
I'll just do my last five because every year they get better and better.
Because the people at home need to know.
Yeah.
Maybe we can do a collage.
All right.
You
want to do a movie review?
Yeah. Saw a movie, and it's been a while since I... You know what? It's been a long time since I saw a movie, and I want to review it.
The last movie I saw was Shoot 'Em Up, and fuck that movie. For real. To clarify the whole opposite sketch thing.
Yeah, for reals. Shoot 'em up, not good.
And for those of you playing at home,
yes,
the correct term is that the Yankees fans are a bunch of dumbasses.
Right.
And
Boston fans.
The Boston fans are a bunch of jerks.
Just as bad. So there you go.
So anyway, our opposite
I would
show
like to say that this movie that we saw this weekend has something in common with the last film I saw in theaters, and that they're both named after trains.
You saw the Polar Express.
I saw the Polar Express. I saw Fuck Me on the Train, Volume 8, at an adult theater. It's not a very clever name, but it was awesome.
The imagery of the train going into the tunnel was not lost on me.
I saw a train coming at you, actually.
Gross.
I saw it at Kelly's birthday party. No, I saw 310 to...
He's old.
Because he's old. I saw the 310 to Yuma.
Oh, that's right.
It's named after a train.
Yeah. The movie we saw this last weekend was the Darjeeling Limited, which is Wes Anderson's fifth film.
Five already? Good for him.
Yeah.
You know it's playing with Hotel Chevalier now.
What's that?
The Darjeeling Limited is now in theaters with the Hotel Chevalier playing like ahead of it.
I'm kind of okay with not. I saw it online.
I saw it online too. I don't feel like I got gypped or anything. I just think it's interesting that they waited. I don't know. I'm sure it was to help drive digital marketing or
I don't know.
Whatever. You know, expand the new paradigm and shift the market potential.
Uh-huh. Some of those words didn't make sense, did they?
Maybe. So do you want to review the film?
Let's review the film. What are we going to what's the writing system? All aboard or train to Auschwitz? That was from the Ali G show.
Oh, that makes it okay.
That's one of Bruno's things. What he had to like judge, like when they have people. Okay, I'm gonna run over a list. Now you give me yeah or train to Auschwitz. This was his thumbs up or thumbs down. So,
do you think consistency?
I'm not gonna. So
you're not gonna say.
I'm gonna leave that rating out there because I have a feeling that where I don't think either of us would rate it that.
That's right. That's right. Okay, that's right. That could be a potential rating, and then we'll see what happens.
Okay.
So in the film, Darjeeling Limited, Owen Wilson and Jason Schwartzman and Adrian Brody play adult brothers who...
Adult brothers?
Yeah. Like, okay. They're all grown-up brothers.
Okay.
Darjeeling babies. Yeah, Jason Schwartzman uses his adventure.
And that's no caca. That's from Conan, babies.
They play brothers who take a trip on a train in India in attempt to reconnect together. And
spiritually.
Takes a spiritual journey and become more friendly. They haven't spoken in a while.
Yes.
So and it has the same standard air of Wes Anderson style disaffection and
kind of troubled family.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of slow-mo. I thought it was brilliant in its portrayal of a family dynamic, the way that they so easily slipped into their roles.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, and I'm sure this is something you thought about during the movie,
because
I know you're a fan, but I would say with Wes Anderson's movies, they're kind of a different take on like Bottle Rocket was kind of a different take on a heist movie.
Yes.
Rushmore was kind of a different take on like a high school kind of drama.
Yeah, yeah.
This was, for me, was a different take on like a Three Stooges kind of road picture.
Yeah, exactly. It's Wes Anderson's Road to Darjeeling.
India.
To India.
Road to Morocco.
Yeah.
But there was definitely moments that felt very Three Stooges-y, like...
Yeah. Like, at just short of film. Slapstick, though. Like,
and even slapstick. There's the whole macing, scene where they get maced. There's the whole... with the peacock feathers
and the snake,
and
yeah.
I can just see Owen Wilson say, "Why I oughta."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there was definitely an element of that. There was great sense of humor. I mean, it wasn't a funny movie.
It was probably, I think that the comedy in it was probably the most broad since Bottle Rocket.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, Life Aquatic had some stuff in it, but.
But not nearly as much.
Ryan gave me the poo-poo face to
I don't know.
Life
There's
Aquatic.
Some funny stuff in Life Aquatic. The topless script girl
Life
always
Aquatic,
makes me laugh.
Life Aquatic, which I believe is the only Wes Anderson movie with a clear-cut plot.
Yeah.
I think the rest of them are kind of...
The rest of them are kind of slices of life.
Plotless. So, yeah. I like Life Aquatic.
Yeah, Life Aquatic, I enjoyed Life it. Aquatic my favorite, is number my favorite three. Still Bottle Rocket.
Life Aquatic's number three. So go ahead, rank your Wes Anderson movies
okay,
now.
Bottle Rocket is number one. I guess I'm going to have to do it backwards because I already gave away the ending. Okay. But it would be Bottle Rocket, Rushmore, Darjeeling, Life Aquatic, Royal Tenenbaums.
Wow, no. ours is like backwards almost.
Yeah.
Almost. Well, not really. Okay, my number one, Royal Tenenbaums. Number two, Bottle Rocket. Number three, Life Aquatic. Number three, Rushmore. Or number four, Rushmore. And number five, Darjeeling.
I know it's odd for me to put Darjeeling as high as I did, seeing as I've only seen it once. But I really responded
really
to the way they interacted together, the family styling.
I enjoyed the movie. It was, I don't know. There was just something. It just didn't click with me.
Yeah.
And it's weird how, like, when I first saw Rushmore, it totally didn't click with me.
Yeah. And then on later viewings?
Yeah, I enjoyed it more.
That could help.
I think you have to be in a certain mood to see a Wes Anderson movie for the first time.
I think you do, definitely. But, I mean, we had enough time to know we were going to see it. So if you weren't in that mood, I blame you.
Yeah. But it's not. It's definitely not.
Yeah.
It's definitely not my favorite of his.
I laughed really loud at a very inappropriate time.
But
it was funny.
I was with you on that laugh.
Yeah.
I really was. And I almost laughed, but because I just smiled and then realized what you laughed at.
Yeah.
I'm glad
you're glad you
held
didn't
up,
laugh?
I held up my swing on it because.
Because I was the only asshole in the theater laughing out loud at that part.
The way Adrian Brody, I'm not saying what
part it is. We can't say.
It's
too much of a giveaway.
It's the big
during the climax.
Like, punch you in the gut scene that happens in every Wes Anderson movie.
Yeah.
The way Adrian Brody said it, I thought it was a funny way to phrase it.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't, like, it just was.
It was. And
because
it
this is
so
what happens. What happens is in any movie, if there's a really intense scene... If you follow up with a joke, it makes the joke that much better
that
because
much
you have this release of tension.
Exactly.
So I think you were looking for that, and I think his line was just odd enough.
And it is a funny line. Like if you look at it, especially like
I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
And but I was able to hold from
back,
laughing,
but I was like,
and leave you hanging out to
hanging.
Dry. Because you were sitting, I was sitting next to Clark.
And I was all the way on the other end.
And you were on the other side of Clark. And I held my laugh. You laughed. And then Clark said, "Oh, Ben."
People didn't turn around and look at me or anything. But there we
but
are
you
in
might,
an art
you
house
might
theater.
You might as well have been in front of the theater with your pants off.
Yeah, exactly. Because the vibe really chilled out in there. Because everyone that was there was like legit people watching a legit film.
And we're all laughing at all the subtle jokes.
Yeah.
And everyone was into it. And then
and I laughed at the wrong time, quote, end quote.
It's like when I went to go see this movie called Happiness.
Oh, God.
You kind of there was kind of a wave in the audience where people started deciding, okay, it's okay to laugh.
Yeah.
And it kind of built towards the end where everyone was laughing. But there's definitely parts where you're like, I'm not sure if I should be laughing at this, even though I find it amusing.
Right.
But then you get to a point where like, you're like, okay, you know, this is funny. I'll laugh.
Yeah.
You were the first person in the theater to do it, but no one else jumped on your train.
And it, and there wasn't an opportunity again after that. That was the only stop for that particular train.
And I think it was a lesson to everyone else.
Yeah.
Wow, I hope I don't find anything else funny because I'm afraid to laugh on my
own. I don't
want
to be that douche.
I was with you on it, and I felt really bad. Like, I felt really bad for you. I was like, oh.
You know, I took it. Ouch. I owned it because, frankly, I thought it was brilliant. It was a brilliant line. It so pointed out the neurosis of that character.
Yes.
And the way that he fit in with his family. It was hilarious. And I'm a bad person. So,
you are.
Okay, for those of you out there that have seen the film, you'll probably know what we're talking about. And for those of you that haven't, go see it because it's a really good movie. And then you'll know what we're talking about.
It's a scene that changes Adrian Brody's whole mental state. It's that scene. And Ben laughed at his delivery of the line.
The deaf comedy of a Wes Anderson.
And it was like
punch
silent.
The face
like
moment.
Jason Schwartzman's running towards him, and it's like this dead silence as he's running towards him.
God.
And it's this great build, like, what's going on? What's going on? And then he delivers this line.
And I lost
and,
it.
And I was with you. So anyway.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
You recommend...
All aboard.
All aboard. I recommend all aboard, but I'm going to put an asterisk.
Uh-oh.
For me, personally, I can recommend this this movie to anyone who's a fan of Wes Anderson movies wholeheartedly. If you like Wes Anderson, you'll love this movie.
Right, right.
If you've never seen a Wes Anderson movie, I can't recommend it as much.
It might not be the starting place because you kind of do have to understand how he's going to tell his story and how it's just going to jump in. And like, there's no background. They don't tell you who these people are ever.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like you meet the characters, they start talking, and then eventually throughout the course of the film, you find out who they are. No, you never really find out who they are.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can see that totally.
But, yeah, hop on board, guys.
Yeah. So you want to skip ahead to the next section?
Yeah, let me do that.
Leftovers stew. I have leftover stir fry for Monday. There's still some stew if you want some. But I was like, I like to eat my leftovers in order when I can. Baby.
Where'd you get sandwiches?
Harmony made meatball sandwiches. They ended up being meatball sloppy joes, but they were delicious.
What are they? What kind of, like, they weren't ground beef or what?
The meatballs just kind of disintegrated. So it wasn't like big old round meatballs. There were some.
I can make a really good meatball sandwich.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. That's my euphemism for feeding people sandwiches made of meatballs.
That sounds good.
You don't like you don't like cold sandwiches.
I don't like cold sandwiches. Meatball sandwiches are the opposite.
Pork chop sandwiches. So what do you want to go first? Is it your turn to go first?
Ben? Are we recording?
Dude, we've been recording since stew was delicious.
Well, okay. I would like to point out that there was what I was saying earlier was there was beef stew leftovers and stir fry leftovers, and I like to eat my leftovers in order. But no fucking way. That meatball stepped right up and it was like, excuse me, I think I'll be cutting. And I'm going to be eating meatball leftovers until they're gone.
I want Harmony's number and she needs to make me one.
Yeah, you should. I'll save some for Saturday.
Don't do that. I want to try these fresh.
Fresh? Okay.
So just the next time you make them, or let her know that the next time she plans on making them, where I could come over.
Yeah, she's always happy to cook. Maybe we'll do it like on a Sunday.
Okay.
Ooh, like after bowling.
Well, I don't mean you don't have to do it right away.
No, no. I'm saying.
Are they that good?
Sunday.
Okay. What did she do to them?
And she didn't even buy cheese for you guys, did she? No. They were good. Okay. Let's get on to stick it in your queue.
My movie is meatballs.
Stick a fucking meatball sandwich in your queue because it's in my leftover queue right now.
Gross.
This week, I would like to recommend a film that I don't own myself. But I really enjoy, and it stars Cary Grant, who I'm a huge fan of, Audrey Hepburn, who I like. It features Walter Matthau.
Really?
And it's 1963's Charade. which was later remade in a movie, which was a total charade.
The Truth About Charlie.
The Truth About Charlie, which I haven't seen, but I heard it's no good. But Charade is, it's got really great chemistry and interaction between Cary Grant and Audrey Hepburn. He had been approached to co-star with her several times before this movie, and he kept saying, I'm too old. I'm too old for her. Finally, they made this one. You know, obviously, he's still way old, but now she's old enough that it maybe doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And they pulled it off brilliantly. And they're like, from the first moment they're on screen together, you know, it's just witty repartee.
Maurice Binder.
Maurice Binder.
Title sequence.
Which is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Is the music any good? I don't remember the music.
Who did the score? Probably won't see on the back. It'll see in the liner notes.
Yeah.
Probably some awesome dude or something. If I remember
music
correctly.
Music by Henry Mancini.
Oh, well, there you go. I would say that the music is good.
It's probably good.
Yeah.
just a very... Oh, and the big guy's in it. Flint. Armand Flint is in it.
Armand Flint? James Coburn?
Yeah.
Dude, that guy's awesome.
Isn't he one of the... You've seen this movie, right?
I've seen parts.
Anyhow.
It's actually Stevie's movie, so I don't own it as well.
Kind of. If you're into kind of an older film... And it's not super suspenseful, but the plot does have several twists, and it's just fun to follow and watch it unfold. So if you're into like an older kind of film, go ahead and check it out. I mean, you know, Cary Grant alone would recommend it for me. So
yeah,
everyone go stick Charade in your queue, and then you can the next time you play charades, you can charade.
Oh my god,
that'll be awesome.
Just point out the window.
So meta.
So go check out Charade. Was that 1967?
1963.
That's what I was going to say. That's the same year that Goldfinger. No, not Goldfinger. From Rush with Love came out. Maybe Maurice Binder didn't do From Rush with Love because
he was busy on Charade. Maybe.
Hello. So anyway, after just hearing about you picking Charade for the first time right now.
Yeah.
And the fact that you mentioned that Walter Matthau's in the motion picture, which is great.
Great news for you.
But even if I didn't look on IMDb to see who was in Charade before we recorded.
I
just looked to see who was in it.
I would have said Matthau anyway.
You would have said Matthau anyway, and I would have immediately jumped to Grumpy Old Men.
Okay.
And as soon as I did that, it's smooth sailing because Daryl Hannah's in Grumpy Old Men.
Roared.
Who, and she's also in the film Splash with Tom Hanks, who's in Saving Private Ryan with Jeremy Davies, who's in the motion picture from 2002. It's a movie that I've talked about.
Yes.
Before on the podcast, but I've never put it in this section, and it's called CQ.
The letters.
Those are the letters. The letter C and the letter Q. It's a movie from, I believe, 2002. It's from writer-director Roman Coppola, who was co-writer and second unit director of the Darjeeling Limited.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a recommendation this week. Yes. It is the story of an American who lives in, I was going to say Italian. He lives in Italy, if I believe. Is it Paris?
It's Paris.
It's probably Paris.
Yeah, it's Paris.
There's Italian filmmakers in there, though.
Yes, there is.
Okay.
And he goes to Italy.
It's an American living in Paris in the years, between the years 1960 in 1970, and he is an editor on a sci-fi film called Agent Codename Dragonfly. While he's an editor on that, he's working on his own personal project about his life in Paris.
Like a cinema verite black and white documentary that he's working on?
Yes. And due to circumstances, the original director for Agent Codename Dragonfly gets fired, and he, as the editor, is now brought on to finish the film and edit the existing footage to make it work as a movie. And as he does this, his active imagination gets the better of him, and he starts to fall in love with the titular character in the film.
I'll say she's titular.
And the movie stars Jeremy Davies, who you know as Upham from Saving Private Ryan. It also stars Jason Schwartzman,
yes,
who's in Darjeeling as well, and he's in Rushmore. Gerard Depardieu... and the guy who plays, quote, Sam in Quantum Leap, even though I know that's not his name. But he's the guy that says Sam all the time.
He's the guy that always says Sam.
What's that guy? What's his the actor's name? What's the character's name on Quantum Leap?
Dean Stockwell. The character's name is Al.
Al.
Yeah.
And also Angela Lindvall.
Who is very
who, if you listen to
attractive.
Our list show a year ago, is my number one.
Yep.
And she still is. So the movie's called CQ. Awesome design.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome art direction. Cinematography, Robert Yeoman, who also does Wes Anderson's film. Cinematography is amazing. All the effects that they do for the 70s
for the
sci-fi
film the film.
Movie looks great. And it's just a really interesting movie about a guy who has an active imagination.
Yeah, it's interesting because the way it goes back and forth between his imagination and reality, and it left me behind at one point. I was like, wait, which one are we in now? And the movie within a movie is really cool. It's like a Barbarella Modesty Blaze.
I forgot to yes, exactly, and like Fathom and even Our Man Flint. But the one person I forgot to mention who's in the movie, who is probably my. It's probably my second favorite performance of his in a motion picture ever.
Nice.
Is your friend Billy Zane.
Billy Zane.
His first...
Oh, that's right. Oh, God, he's brilliant in this.
Yes. Billy Zane as Mr. E.
In the film within a film.
Yes. Oh. My first favorite performance of Billy Zane is in Zoolander.
Zoolander. It's when everyone should listen to him.
But definitely check it out if you're interested in something different.
Yeah.
It's kind of artsy-fartsy, I suppose.
It is, and it's mellow.
Because Mellow did the score to the film.
Oh, and the score is awesome.
Yeah, the score's done by Mellow. I guarantee you, if you've listened to our show...
You've heard it at least once.
You've heard Mellow.
At least one track from it, yeah.
In fact, maybe I'll play some shit right now.
Fuck it.
Maybe that's what you're listening to. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, What a Fool Believes playing. Sorry, folks.
Next
I'll play
week.
It. You know what? I'll play some Mellow from CQ during You All Everybody segment.
There you go. But yeah, I mean, you definitely have to be, I'm a real professional. I dropped my mic and everything. You definitely have to be like in a mood to watch that kind of film because it is kind of slow and artsy. But if you are in that mood, then you'll enjoy the hell out of it.
I think there's still a hint of like almost mainstream in it. Like, I think the jokes work for a wide audience. I don't think it's really...
You don't have to be like an industry insider to understand how making a movie can be frustrating.
Yeah, it's...
And they definitely lay it all out for you.
It's definitely more lighthearted than some...
Yes, yeah.
Depressing.
I resisted watching it for a while. You recommended it, and it took me a while to watch it, because I was like, oh, geez, is it going to drag? Is it going to bring me down? No, it's just... You know, it's just not... It's not an action film.
Yeah,
you know,
but there is action in it.
But there is action.
Yeah. So
I watched it while I was donating platelets one time.
Yes.
Because that's an easy way to watch a movie. So yeah, check it out. CQ.
CQ. Put it in your
CQ.
Yeah. What?
Or your AQ. Any of your Qs, really.
Yeah. I don't know what that means. So that's that.
All right. Well, let's get on out of here then.
Get out of here, mother effers. So, that is our show.
If you would like to learn anything about CQ or Darjeeling or any of the other people mentioned in tonight's episode, take a trip to your local library.
Ba-da-da.
It's all in books.
Okay, here's a couple things I want to mention before we go. Because I haven't mentioned this. The past maybe 4 or 5 episodes that we posted, if you click on the album art during our Stick It In Your Queue segment, it'll take you to our Stick It In Your Queue page
on
darmalars.net, and you can watch the trailers.
Oh, cool.
Directly from the album art.
Except for last week when it was opposite week, and that was fun.
Those were different trailers. Christ almighty. the same thing goes for when we do a 2-minute debate, which...
Which we may retire.
Like we may retire.
Because it turns out Ralph and I agree on almost everything.
Yeah.
So we're lacking for subjects to debate.
Always check the album art. You'll be whisked away to things that are poignant to what we're talking about.
To a world of adventure.
Yes.
go to shopsalmon8.com, and you can check out the Darmalar shirt, which is still available for sale. Still a smart choice. I mean, winter's coming up.
And you need to wear clothing.
You need to wear clothing during the winter.
And when you
might win the golden ticket.
When you do get your shirt, send us an email at darmalars@gmail.com.
And if you haven't gotten a shirt yet, send us an email at darmalars@gmail.com and say, hey, tell us what's going on. Send us a joke. Send us a picture. We respond to every email, folks. So let us know you're out there.
And if you do send us a picture, there will be it'll be posted at our Darmalarmies album at myspace.com/darmalars.
Which is a lot of fun. Ralph did a couple of really cool, I keep trying to say pornography. What's the
propaganda
word? Propaganda. Thank you.
Propaganda.
Ralph did a couple of really cool propaganda posters for the Darmalarmy that are a lot of fun. So check those out.
I know. And who's... I don't know. Apparently, we've been spammed. So if you guys see that spam, whatever
spam.
You do, don't click on that picture because it definitely won't whisk you away to darmalars.net.
Yeah, it's probably actual spam, so be careful.
If you do find spam on your MySpace page from us, be sure to notify us. Give us a call at 206-338-4261.
That's right. Leave us a message anytime. We'll listen to it, and then we'll also drop it in the You All Everybody segment.
That which plays at the end of every show.
That's right. So that's pretty much it. Next week we're going to come back with a special Halloween episode.
Woo woo!
Woo!
Halloween spooks outside my window.
I'm fired up. You guys know this if you've been listening to the show for any length of time, but I love Halloween.
If you have been listening to the show for any length of time, I mean, I'm not the one to beg for or praise or anything.
Right.
But usually after You All Everybody, I have an audio treat that I like to play, and I never really hear comments on them. So let me know what you think of the fun little audio tidbits, especially our Opposite Day one with Mr. Monty Norman.
Oh, man.
His face is so punchable.
Yes.
And let me know what you think of those, because I'll keep on doing those if you...
You'll keep on doing anyway, but you want to know that people are out there.
Yeah, I mean, I might stop. I'm running out of cool things to...
Oh, yeah. There.
I was talking to Ben also about our show. We may go after Halloween. We may go every other week.
Yeah.
But we're not sure. We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll play it by ear.
If we have something to talk about, we might come back in the interim week. But generally, we'll do every other week until Lost comes back.
Yeah. Because I feel like the week, if we do week after week after week, our energy isn't as high.
Especially now that summer's over and we're not seeing a movie every weekend.
Yes.
It gives us less to talk about. But we are looking forward to our next Darmalar show, which should be on December 4th.
Somewhere around there.
The 5th. Yeah. To do the preview for the Season 3 DVD.
For those of you who are in the Lost.
And I'm definitely looking forward to Lost coming back and talking about that week to week.
Christ, yes.
So is that pretty much it, though?
I guess so.
Okay.
Remember, everybody, keep the pet population down. Spay or neuter your pets.
There you go.
This lady just won $23,000. That was today's.
She's probably going to buy some pets.
After he did the sign up. But that's not my sign off.
No, it's not. It's someone else's sign off. Okay, well, you know, thanks a lot for listening, guys. Get your costumes ready. It's going to be a fun weekend. Stay safe and sane out there, and Lars de la Vista.
Check out these assholes.
That was like the legitimate funny line that everyone laughed at.
And then everyone ditched you.
The next line spoken was the one that I was the cheese standing alone.
Remember, this movie's hilarious, everybody?
Don't you remember? We were all laughing.
All right, folks.
You all, every motherfucker.
See you guys.
Down, niggas. Yo, so I also love The Naked Gun, and I think that it was the greatest comedy trilogy ever made. I have not seen Across the Universe, but I will make it my top priority to do so. But I have one problem with the Opposite Day podcast. When you guys started talking about dudes and their dicks, that's just kind of where the line should be drawn, you know what I'm saying? My gaydar was going crazy. But other than that, it was really funny. and you guys kick shit, and Ryan is hysterical. Yeah. Hi.
I remember a time when Lost was a new show. I remember a time when I had just found out what podcasts were, and I did an iTunes search for Lost podcasts. And I remember a time where I all by myself found a podcast hosted by two fellows named Scott and Steve, except that wasn't actually their names. And I was stupid enough to not be able to understand why their names kept switching around. But I also remember a story that they would tell about a man who something, Johnny Bluestone or something like that, and the baseball bat that he has, and something about someone killing his favorite rat with a pencil. And I just remember priceless stories like this. That makes me wish that there was still make your own kind of music with Scott and Steve that didn't not make me something. I totally lost where I was going. But anyway, I miss the old days of my Alchemist staff, and I was reminiscing with myself about how you guys were like the Bring Back My Alchemist staff brigade. And then it didn't, like, work, but instead Dolores was born, which is, like, kind of good. I mean, like, it is good, but it's just kind of, like, bittersweet because, like, you know, you lost one magical podcasting moment of history and gained another. Anyway, this is Jen, by the way. You probably guessed that by the rambling. Anyway, I was just listening to the Lost soundtrack, season 1 and 2, and I was trying to find that one that they always play while they're marching, like, places, that one that Jack from Dream Jack really likes, and I couldn't find it, so in my frustration, I just started listening to random stuff by Michael Giacchino, and I went back to his Alias music, and if you are a techno, orchestral, techno, whatever fan, he is definitely someone you want to listen to for the Alias stuff. Like, go on there and check out the SD6 dance party, and I don't remember what it's called, something Undercover Mission in Spain or something like that. I don't know, they're just really good, and he just, I think it's cool how versatile he is. You can just play all this crazy music and it always sounds magical. And what's not. I think that's it. Oh, and that whole review on Across the Universe, I think Ryan needs to stop being whiny and just enjoy some nonsensical Beatles tribute music, because I like the movie. And granted, absolutely everything you said was right. The whole freaking Prudence thing. Why couldn't, if they were going to wanted to do the song Dear Prudence, why wouldn't they have made that a main character? Like, and worked it in there. They would go ahead and give a character's name like Max or Maxwell, and then not play Maxwell Silverhammer. They would put characters in like Lucy, and only play Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds in the end credits. Like, why would you give up such a good song and waste it on a character if you're not going to play the song, and then introduce these weird Vietnamese bi-curious whatever, I don't even know how else to describe her, abuses or abused, I don't know what, and just give her a song just for the sake, like, just creating her just for the sake of the song. If they were going to do that, why didn't they just give someone else a... Okay, so maybe I didn't like it so much. Never mind. But I did like it, but it just, I agree that it was totally screwed up in some part. But I think Lennon would have been happy with the entire I'm the Walrus thing and the For the Benefit of Mr. Kite. I think he would have loved the ridiculous acid trip mess of it. Anyway, I think I'm done for like a good 4 months. So, you guys are...
Well, you know, brother. This is Darmalars, brother? Yes, it is, brother. Let me tell you like this, Darmalars. Little Ralph, dude, Ben, dude. I'm going to tell you like this. When a big kahuna gave you the call, the ring-a-ling-a-ling, about hosting not only the best, but the biggest show on earth, brother. On VINBC, the American Black Gladiator Show, brother. I was ecstatic. I have one question from my agent. I said, what you gonna do, brother? What you gonna do when the largest pythons in the world come crashing down on NBC, brother, and host that one-of-a-kind show? So just in case you ain't heard, the Hulkamania is gonna run wild all through your spring into your summer with American Gladiators, brother. What you gonna do? Brother.
Fuck across the universe.
Hey, what's up, Lars? This is Dre calling out of L.A. And I screwed up my... Okay, so, I'm sitting up here, I'm going through, and believe it or not, I haven't listened to a lot of other Lost podcasts, you know, for a while, so I had to go all the way back to February and listen to a lot of stuff that just been sitting on my iPod. Anyway, so two things I'm sick of people talking about, people still talk about to this damn day. One about Michael and why he did what he did, and the other about Apollo and Nikki. Whole thing with Apollo and Nikki is that everybody wanted to know what the other people were doing on the island, the law-carrying people and all these other people you see in the background. They added them to do that and then to satisfy us, you know, geeks or whatever, and then, you know, everybody shitted on them, and they decided to kill them off. Stop talking about it. Okay. And the other thing, okay, with Michael. Obviously, it's sticking to Michael thing. Okay. The thing is, with Michael, if you remember the episodes, all right, Michael always wanted to be there for his kids. He wasn't a lazy father or didn't ever want to be there or gave up his rights or whatever. What happened is that she... manipulated situation, the mother, I forgot her name. What she did, remember he got off the phone after an argument with her over the kid, and then he gets off the phone and then he gets hit by a car. So as that goes on, she took the opportunity to, you know, say, look at you, you're not doing this, you're not doing that. You can't do this, you can't do that. And she was mentally, you know, fucking with him. He wasn't going to budge. He was going to fight the whole situation. But because at this point he was walking with a cane, all this other stuff, he was beat up, you know, having tough times and all this other stuff. If somebody comes to you, especially the mother of your kid, and tell them that you could all, this, your kid can be... You know, it'd be better off for your kid to do this, to be with this person, except, you know, instead of, hanging on to something back here. If you're not selfish, if you really do, I mean, it's a test of what you consider love. Because, I mean, if you were thinking of your kid and, oh, that's my job. Okay, so if you're thinking of the well-being of your kid, and you're with the mother, it's just that, you know, the whole thing about going back and forth over, you know, different continents and shit, it's like, you know, you probably would make that decision. If the roles were reversed and he was pulling the, you know, mentally fucking with her, you know, saying that he could offer the better life, she probably would have did the same thing too. So the thing is, he had, and he didn't have to, but, oh, God. Okay, you didn't hear that. Sweet shit. Okay, okay. Well, I'm saying, okay, anyway. So if you was in the situation, you probably would do it. Go back and look at the episode and see where he actually decided to give up his rights. It was after he got hit by the car, he came there into the hospital and fucked with him. And, you know, uses his he can't work right now. All this, yeah, he can't work. He just got hit by a damn car. What the hell? So it's like, you know, mentally he wasn't strong enough at that point to keep up his fight. And then on top of that, I listened to other podcasts, and these people are saying that that he wasn't there, and it don't matter if he signed that or whatever like that. The damn thing is, he sent the cards or whatever because he still wanted to be a part of the dude's life, still wanted to be a part of Walt's life, and that was his way of doing it. And she kept that away from him. Okay, so the thing is, Michael did what he thought was best at the time, and it wasn't that he just didn't want to be there. Yeah, I must have talked to him a couple of hours. Must have talked to him because he actually ran out. Wow. Okay, so anyway, just to finish up my train of thought, because that pissed me off so much that people don't see this. I don't understand why people don't see the Michael incident of the whole reason why Walt was giving up. It's because he was mentally screwed at the time, and that's why he was weak enough to think that his money wasn't enough. His bum leg sporting the cane wouldn't supply for his son. And you know what I'm saying? In between his dream of, you know, doing drawing and being an artist or whatnot, and him doing his job as a construction worker or whatever the hell, regardless of what his job was, he could have took care of his kids. But, you know, he would have did anything to take care of him because he didn't want to let him go. But because of the mental situation that he was going through is why he gave him up. Okay, and it wasn't like he was giving it up to a stranger. He gave it up to the mother and thinking that the mother would uphold her end of the bargain, which we're going to find out about the letter. We already know about the letters, but it's going to come out that she withheld the letters again. You see what I'm saying? So it's not that. Then people don't even really remember the part where he could have spilled the beans on his mother, but he took the blow. Because why should you speak bad about the dead? You know, people got hang-ups about that shit. So, Michael is, or whatever you want to call it, there for Walt. Stop beating up on fucking Michael. And then, on top of that, the guy, he, as soon as he gets his kid back, somebody kidnaps him from, some pirate-looking dude kidnapped your son. They're gonna go fucking crazy. You know what I'm saying? You just got him back, and then you lost him out of the world. The weight of the world is on you, whatever like that. He didn't mean to shoot any damn body, you know, regardless of what it looked like or whatever. He didn't set on coming in there, busting the cap and people's asses and killing Lily and all this other shit. Libby or whatever the hell. You know, he didn't, but at the same damn time, he was like, fuck it. You know what I'm saying? It's bad, but I guarantee you, in a lot of situations where people have kids, if somebody threatens somebody, member of your family, or whatever, kidnaps them, you're going to do whatever the hell you got to do, probably, to get your kids back. So, all these people, I mean, when you come down to it, he didn't want to pull the trigger. You know what I'm saying? When you come down to it, you're probably not going to want to pull the trigger either. But shit happens. You got to deal with it. And no, it's not Michael in the fucking casket. And I'm more and more starting to think, yeah, it is Hurley Reason why is because when they get off the damn island, Hurley don't want nobody to be around him because he still thinks the fucking money's cursed. So that's why nobody was at the funeral. You see what I'm saying? You're right, Ralph. Damn it. That's it. This is Dre from L.A. Piss off at work. Ah!
Take it easy, guys.
Hey, guys. This is Lori calling from Los Angeles. Hello, neighbor. I just had to tell you, after listening to that podcast, like, I finally got into the mode of thinking backwards. You totally ruined me for all the other podcasts I was listening to that day. Because, like, I'd put on the next one, I'm like, wait, are they lying? Did they really not like that episode of... Are they telling the truth? Wait, do they really like it? Yeah, totally warped my brain. So, thanks. And that was, like, without... Yeah, thanks.
Leonardo, what do you say?
$9.90, Bob.
$9.90. All right. The actual reason. Now wait. What's the matter?
I didn't say anything.
You didn't get to say anything. You said your shirt says leave me alone. I'm leaving you alone. What?
$1,000.
What do you mean one? Don't bother me. You said leave me alone. You leave me alone. What?
No, don't leave me alone.
Then take your shirt off.
Okay.